This is Matt Wells at UN News. An estimated 260 million children are not receiving an education, and the crisis is hampering their access to vital life skills and the jobs market. Leaders at the non-profit Their World have committed to closing the education gap. The organisation's bringing visibility to the scale of the global education crisis through an immersive installation, the Infinity Classroom, a mirrored room which highlights the huge number of unfilled seats in schools across the world. Sited on the main UN plaza in New York, the installation serves as the centrepiece of Their World's latest campaign, hashtag Right the Wrong, aiming to gain the financial support and political momentum to help children achieve their full potential. NGO partners, founder Sarah Brown and President Justin Van Fleet, spoke to UN News' Natalie Hutchison on stage in the SDG Media Zone during the General Assembly's high-level week.
Well, so we set up the Infinity Room right outside the main doors to the UN headquarters because we wanted to capture people going past and just make sure that education was front and centre. This has been a UN week where how we protect our planet has been the start to the week, and now we're moving across to talk about people on that planet. And truthfully, we're not going to find a way to save our planet if we don't find a way to educate all our children too, who need to know what they need to do to play their part. So the Infinity Room, as you walk into it, is a mirrored space that when you sit at the children, the school desks there, the mirrors create, you know, literally millions of empty desks representing the 260 million children, you say, who don't get the chance to go to school.
And there's some sound as well, right? Do you want to tell people a little bit about the sound?
Sure, so once you walk in there, you can close the door, you can create your own photographs, create your own film, and the space will do all the work for you. But also you can hear the sound of a classroom and hear what the sound would be if we had all those children at school learning and excited and planning their futures too.
Justin, anything to add?
Well, I think just building on that is what happens if we don't do anything about that today and right now. And that's why we thought it was so important, even when climate and other issues are front and center, that I see even here with the boxes, SDG 4 education is at the bottom, because it's the foundation that really helps us achieve all of those SDGs. And by having the box here front and center, it reminds people of not just the 260 million out of school today, but if we don't change course immediately, in 2030, there'll actually be over 800 million, over half of the world's young people won't have the skills that they'll need to enter the workforce, to be productive members of society. So it's a wake-up call to what's actually going to be happening in 2030 if we don't take action.
Great. So what is the global education crisis exactly, and how do you bring visibility to this with all these other SDGs that are competing this week especially?
So the crisis is simply that you have millions of children out of school, but the crisis is also what that means for them as they grow up. And as Justin said, you face a future where within a very short period of time, half of the world's young people will not have the skills to or be ready to be able to enter employment or run their own business or engage in a job that, you know, robot might be doing an unskilled job, but there's going to be plenty of scope for people with skilled jobs, but they have to have that learning. And we're creating a bigger and bigger gap as we have children who are able to go through secondary school and on to higher education and leaving so many millions behind. And the challenge is also not just for those children who are in the poorest, hardest to reach parts of the world, but also those children who are displaced. And we have so many more children to address in a humanitarian context where, you know, as a refugee, as an asylum seeker, as a child whose family can move several times as they move, we have to be able to be and flexible and provide opportunities for them. So the competition with the other goals is not a competition. You know, I was talking to Amina Mohammed this morning, and she said something very wise, which is she loves the progress of any single goal from her point of view, responsible for all 17. Any progress on any single goal has a positive impact on others. And education arguably has the greatest impact on how we achieve every goal.
Right. Youth is certainly at the center of the conversation these days. So.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. Sarah, would you share a bit about the founding of the organization? What sort of inspired you to pursue education at this level?
So I didn't set out to set up a charity that was focused on the global education crisis. When we first started the charity 17, 18 years ago, it had a different name. It was focused on community health and education projects. projects and looking at what we could do at the grassroots level. But what's happened as we've grown, we've partnered with other initiatives, been inclusive with the way that we work. Working with Justin in a leadership role there brings a lot of skills and expertise with his team, where actually you're able to work right at that top-down level of looking at how we unlock the political will, unlock the financing, unlock the commitments to education that if we scroll back 10, 15 years, just weren't there. And the journey to making education the priority was one where whatever health project we were doing or something around nutrition or something environmental, you can never reach your full goal when you're dealing with children who don't get that chance to go to school. And it was just something where myself and other like-minded people realized that if we collaborated together, we created partnerships together as an organization, we could do that. And that's where Their World was born. But Their World doesn't work on its own either. You know, we've got partnerships with other NGOs, with UNICEF here. We've been meeting with them this morning and getting a lot of new commitments for education, you know, sharing our resources. And I think all of us have to do that. So Their World is there to collaborate and work with others, because we need government, we need civil society, we need businesses if we're together going to reach these goals.
Great. That's what I was going to ask. And aside from the Infinity Classroom, sort of what other involvement you had with the UNGA this week, and maybe more details about those partnerships?
So we're here, we have the Global Business Coalition for Education that we'd established that's been building private sector engagement with education. So they've been hosting a big event. We've campaigned for many years at Their World to be able to see the creation of the new financing facility, big pledging today. And Education Cannot Wait, that's within the UNICEF family, is there scooping up massive commitments this week for education in emergencies. So we're having busy days every day.
Of course. And you both, I believe, returned from a trip to Greece recently, right?
Where that's you right. Saw you share our trip
camps.
To Greece.
Yeah, could you share a bit about that?
Quite heartbreaking. You share.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those trips where you realize the sheer scale of the challenge in both sort of the global level, but also what it means to individuals. Where we were there on days, we had record numbers of young people arriving on boats from Turkey, and these refugee reception centers that were already overcrowded, 3, 4, 5 times the capacity. No supplies even for a place to you know, tents, nothing. And they're just waiting outside. And you had all of these young people, and most of them are young people in these camps. And what we were able to do is we partnered with Education Cannot Wait and the players of the Dutch Postcode Lottery. And we said, we have to do something. We have to right the wrong. It was such an injustice of what was happening there. And so collectively, we invested into programs with UN agencies, with UNICEF and UNHCR, and we're delivering 5,000 school places right now to those young children. We saw the young people we were able to take out of those camps, go down the road to these centers, and their eyes light up. They're taken out of these places, and a hope, an opportunity, and everything's right in front of them. And then you know at the end of the day, they have to go back. And so we have to solve both that crisis of the refugees being there and in those conditions, but also while they're in this transit center, they need some type of hope and opportunity. So we're now making a plan to double the capacity immediately. We want to get over 80% of them serviced in the next few months, so they all have a chance of education while they're there. And so that's our big challenge ahead.
Wonderful. Where else has Their World gone and made impacts so far?
Well, we've worked a lot with refugees because we campaigned very heavily to be able to get funding through the humanitarian sector. It's not that many years where that change come about. So we've had a lot of work with Syrian refugees. I'm British, and so for us to see in Europe refugees coming in was a big wake-up call in 2015, 2016, to realize how close that came to us coming in through the Greek islands, but also something where we have a responsibility. These people are now our neighbours, and to be able to engage. So we've worked a lot. So one of our biggest initiatives that was a big breakthrough was making the proposal for the double shift school system. And the double shift school system is a very simple solution to massive influx of people needing education and a population like Lebanon or Turkey or Jordan overwhelmed by how to cater to that need, but generously being prepared to do so. And so if the school can start a bit earlier in the day, you get a first shift of children coming through, and then halfway through it will move over to it. So double the number of children can come through a school building in one day, which means you don't have to spend time working out where you're going to build buildings. You can get on with working how your teachers are going to be trained to cope, different language instruction, making sure those children have that opportunity. And that's worked amazing. I mean, Justin will speak to the numbers more accurately than I do, but we have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of children who are now in school as a result of that system.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. No, and I think that's the point, is we're not an an organization just to run programs on the ground, because there are a lot of great partners that do that already.
Yeah.
And what we're really trying to do is find out where are the blockages, where are the gaps, who's missing out, how do we provide that immediate support, but then also how do we create that change and unlock sort of the bigger amounts of funding, the bigger partnerships that need to happen to really deliver at scale. And so exactly what you're saying, in Lebanon, with this proposal, we've then partnered with the government and the UN agency, and over 300,000 young people went back to school last year that were refugees in Lebanon that otherwise wouldn't have had that opportunity. Before we all worked together on this, it was about 10,000. And so you see the immediate impact that you can have if everybody works together and really put our mind to these new innovative ways of doing work.
That's wonderful. Staying on the good news, Sarah, you mentioned there were new pledges that came out this morning. Justin, I was following some of your tweets. There was some incredible progress that came out of the UN today. Can you share a bit about who those donors were and what we saw?
Well, the first tranche of it was Education Cannot Wait, so looking for funding that needs to be ready to move very, very quickly where there's an unfolding emergencies. So there was a number of countries that came to the fore. So we saw Norway, Denmark, who else was there?
Germany.
Yeah. The United States made a commitment.
UK
made a big commitment. So all of those commitments are there and ready, and then reaching out more widely. And I know that Education Cannot Wait will now look towards the Expo 2020 coming up, and talking to Dubai Cares and other organizations in the region about how to galvanize more countries to be able to come in on board.
And we had even more, because after the Education Cannot Wait event, we had the International Finance Facility for Education, which is a new proposal we've had out there. And now there's actually money coming into this thing.
Actually,
so it's real. We had youth campaigners the past 2 years campaigning with Their World and other organizations to get this thing up. And now it's there. And today there were $600 million in pledges into that. And because of the way it's set up, it actually multiplies the money through the multilateral development bank. So it actually equates to about $2.1 billion that we'll be able to invest in the next generation of young people. And you combine that with the amount from Education Cannot Wait, we're looking at $2.4 billion that was raised just today, just across the street, for education. And that's a big deal. That's probably the most amount that's been raised for education any single day in history.
It's huge. That's great. Well, I think that good news is going to be the place where we stop today. Thank you so much, Sarah and Justin, for joining us. Everyone, thank you so much for your attendance. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.